Hey, what's going on, CVXA fam? What is Feed One? On today's podcast, Vanessa is going to be talking about what is Feed One and how we can be a part of God's global heart. Let's talk about it.
We are CVXA, a student faith movement for all nations across the Central Valley College campuses. We believe in a Holy Spirit-led life filled with real devotion, real brotherhood, and real responsibility. Our prayer for you is that you will learn and grow through today's podcast.
Hey, CVXA fam. I'm so excited to be talking about one of my favorite things of who we are as a movement. First, I want to kind of ask you guys some questions. Has anyone worked out on an empty stomach? I mean, that empty stomach workout where you're not sure if your muscles are sore or if your guts are coming out or what's happening. Like, you ever been so hungry, but you're still working out? Like, that pain. Okay, let me ask you this. Has anyone had, like, back-to-back classes all day, but you didn't eat any lunch? And yet you start wondering, like, when is food coming? Or, like, you wonder, can DoorDash deliver to your classroom? Have you thought about it? If you haven't, now you're thinking that's a brilliant idea. I'm onto something, guys. Okay. I really do think DoorDash should deliver to classrooms. If you work for DoorDash right now, you're probably like, please do not tell my manager this. Okay. All right. Or have you ever been really hungry? Your friend invites you over to come over, hang out, eat, study, whatever. But you get there and all they got is popcorn. Like, really? What am I going to do with popcorn? Like, I am not going to be full off of some popcorn, right? Okay. Or if you've grown up like me, Thanksgiving, right? I love Thanksgiving. It is the holiday. I mean, it is all about family, good times together, and best of all, food. But if you grew up in a family like mine, you are not allowed to eat anything until everything is done, right? Like, no appetizers. Like, since when is the biggest feast of the entire year? And you're not allowed to have appetizers, right? Like, my family, it's like, we are so hungry because nobody can eat until everything's done. And I'm Filipino. Everybody's got those little egg rolls already out. I'm trying to sneak one, right? Like, I am so hungry. All right, ask all these questions because we can all relate to moments of being hungry. We can relate to moments of having that, I'm hungry, I want something. Jameel will tell me all the time, babe, like, I think you're hungry. Mainly when I talk to him sideways, right? When I'm talking to him in a way I probably should not, he'll look at me and say, babe, you're not thinking, you're hungry, right? And it's true because my brain is cut off from my body and my stomach begins to manifest itself. But I ask these questions because we've all experienced hunger, right? And a lot of times unmet hunger can change your physical ability, your emotional capacity, and your spiritual awareness. And I want to break something down for us because there is a difference between hungry and starving. My kids so many times will turn around, look at me, be like, Mom, I'm starving. No. You're hungry. You don't know what starvation is. And often we say that, right? I'm sure you've been in that moment. You're like, man, I'm starving. I need something. But I want to talk about the difference between being hungry and starving. Hungry is when your body is out of immediate available calories and you would like more. Like, I want more, please. Starving is when your body is literally breaking itself down in order to obtain enough fuel to keep going. When you are starving, your nervous system cannot effectively transmit the electrochemical impulses to communicate to other parts of your body. Your body literally begins to be at war with itself when you are starving. Now, listen here. Luke 12:33-34 says, this is how the Lord commands us to live our lives. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So here, God is showing us that where we need to put everything into is not on the things here on earth, But literally, the things here on earth, we should sell all those things. Why? To give to the needy. And why do we give to the needy? Because when we give sacrificially beyond ourselves, when we give to somebody beyond our own desires, we are storing up our treasures in heaven. And that is a place where no thief can steal and no moth can destroy those things. In James, God warns the rich man and he addresses the troubled times ahead of him, not because they are rich, but what they have chosen to do with their riches, despite seeing the blessing from being a child of God. Money in itself is not evil, but the love of money, that's what takes us away from our relationship with God. That's the most important thing, is our connection to Jesus, our connection to God, and our relationship with him. You can have a lot of money, but not have a love for money. And you can have no money and have a love for money. Let me say it like this. You can love money and have no money. And you can have money and not love money. The love for money is the root of all kinds of evil. And as a child of Christ, do not get it wrong. Do not lose this. You are expected to help the needy. If you have surrendered your life for Christ and you are in the family of God, as many people would say, you are a brother, a sister, a co-laborer with Jesus. If you have received from the benefit of Christ, if you've received in your needy state and you have accepted the riches of someone else who had more than you've ever had, you are now to be an imitator of him. You are now to be an imitator of Christ's love. You are to walk in his nature, which is to be a giver. Now, if you're getting nervous right now and you're like, whoa, we're talking about Feed One, we're talking about helping children, but Vanessa, you coming down hard on me, and I have a feeling you're going to ask me for a lot of money right now. I want you to know right now, I'm not in a way to make money, a scam. I'm not like trying to do some type of manipulation or anything, because genuinely, I'm not after your money. But I am after your heart. Trust me, if I was after money, college students would not be the avenue I would have chosen. I would have given you all about 10 more years till you're in your careers and then we talk. But I am after your heart. And the reality is when your heart is given to the Lord, it spills over into every area of your life, including your wallet. So, establish this. Vanessa loves you, and we are a student faith movement for all nations, and we're here to be a real, authentic community. I would never bring something before you guys that I was not walking in or growing in or have learned first myself. Why? Well, because hypocrisy kills hope. Christ is the bringer of all hope, and I'm his messenger, so are you. So hope is what we will bring. Hope is what we are going to stand in. So we are going to focus in as a family on one profound, powerful way that we can bring hope into this world. And that is through giving through to the poor. And the avenue that we as a movement, and when I say movement, I'm not only just talking about Central Valley Chi Alpha, but I'm talking about as movement as a Chi Alpha nation. If you are unaware, Chi Alpha is in over 300 different places around the world, not just in the United States, but actually globally. We even have Chi Alphas internationally. And we as a movement, many of us have dedicated the month of November for Feed One. So this is a movement bigger and greater than just ourselves. We're actually able to partner together with Chi Alphas across the nation and say we are devoted to Feed One and towards giving to be a generous generation of college students. You can check that out. College students are doing this. We are feeding the nations. So let's dive in a little bit deeper into the word. Proverbs 29:7. This is an Amplified Bible, by the way. I love Amplified Bible. It says, the righteous man cares for the rights of the poor, but the wicked man has no interest in such knowledge. That's right. The poor have rights. And as a righteous man, I should care for their rights. There is a great need on how we can be a part of making sure we tend to the rights of the poor. And a righteous man can humble his heart to see what is rightfully needed and given to our brothers and sisters, and how to help them have hope and faith and help, and how we can be a part of that. Proverbs 28:27 says, again, Amplified Version says, "He who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes from their need will have many curses." Have you ever went after something over and over again, but man, realized you still lacked? One of the ways that the Bible promises us that we will not have lack is when we tend to the poor. And if you think that is too much of a promise to hold on to, again, hold on to this declaration in Proverbs 28. He who gives to the poor will never want. That means you will have satisfaction in your heart when you tend to the poor. A wicked man is not interested in being part of the solution to the needy, to the poor. You may not be the whole solution to worldwide hunger, but we can be a bringer of peace, of love, and of nutrition. I love Mother Teresa's quote, "If you can't feed 100, then just feed one." You can't close your eyes to the needs of the poor and expect to be satisfied. Leviticus 23:22 says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the edges of your field, nor gather to the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." God has set this up from the beginning. He made a way for the poor to receive, for the widow to receive, for the foreigner to receive. He placed it in the hearts of his children that we would make sure that all that we have, we would still make room to give. And we would not reap the whole harvest of what we have, but we would be generous with all that we have. That our resources would not just be our own, but we would live a life that says, "All my resources are for the kingdom, are for God and his people." The Lord has always had it set up for us that we would be the ones people would turn to. The welfare system, if you're unfamiliar, and I would say I am, a person that has benefited from the welfare system as a child. My parents being immigrants and lacking a lot when they came, they were able to receive from the welfare system and benefit their lives and raise me and lift me up in a way to be able to have more than what they had. But God, when he created the nature of how we are to go about through life as righteous men and women, he created in a way that our hearts would tend to the poor, that we wouldn't be reliant on solely government welfare. And too often, sometimes we've abused these systems to say, well, it's their job. The welfare system will take care of the poor. The welfare system will take care of shelter and the needs in disasters. They'll do it. To ensure that basic needs are met, food and shelter was never to be based on solely a government welfare system. I remember reading an article that talked about how if every Christian in the United States actually gave their full tithe and gave a small portion in offerings, it would actually eradicate the need for the welfare system, because there would be abundance in funding to be able to fund the needs of the poor, to be able to provide shelter for the poor. But that generous heart is not a commitment that every believer makes. But we, as a student faith movement, we, Central Valley Chi Alpha fam, we are a generous, generous generation. We need to stop expecting someone else to be the solution. You are the solution. You are the answer to the prayers that you've prayed. You're not just praying prayers and waiting for somebody else to come and walk up and be. You are praying prayers, and God is giving you boldness to walk out and be that answer. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Come on now. Like, if I'm going to lend to anyone, I'm going to lend to the Lord, because he's going to give in abundance and he's going to give in an increase. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. You can't insult the creation without insulting the artist. When you look at a painting, when you hear a song, you can't insult the creation without insulting the creator. I can't say that painting, it's all right. I don't really like the colors. I'm not really feeling it. And the creator being like, oh, thank you. You so appreciate me. No, if you insult the painting or the song that I just created, you're insulting me. We're one and the same. You can't oppress the poor. You can't turn your eye away from the poor. You can't say it's someone else's problem and then go to God and say, God, would you help me? God, I'm coming to you. What are you basically saying? Ah, God, you could have done better with these people. When you insult them, you insult him. But when you turn your hand, your eyes, your heart, your resources to the poor, and you give them love, you give them respect, you give them food, shelter, love, you honor the Lord because you're honoring his creation. Proverbs 22:9 says, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. We are a righteous family. You're hearing me say this over and over again. Righteous, generous generation. We are a movement here to bring hope to this world. Even if no one else does, we will. Even if no one else does, I will. Even if no one else does, you will. We will be blessed because our bread, our resources, our money, we share it with the poor. Proverbs 29:7 says, a righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not understand such knowledge. Do you understand the rights of the poor? All right, so, I mean, maybe I'm the only one, but how many of you have dreamed of being a superhero as a child? I know I grew up dreaming I was every single type of superhero. I mean, name it, I was it. Ghostbusters, you know, Wonder Woman, Batman, Spider-Man. I mean, all of them. I just thought I was all of them. I thought I could be a superhero back in the day when we didn't have these really cool costumes that they have nowadays. Like, my kids have these costumes they put on, and, you know, Makan's like Black Panther with like fake muscles. He's got like fake muscle calves. Like, no, my superhero costume was a blanket that I tied around my neck and I ran around the house, and I was Wonder Woman. I was, you know, I mainly thought I was Batman, but that's just another story. But I ran around just believing I was just this superhero. And it's, I know I'm not the only one. I know a lot of you guys are right now experiencing your, you know, childhood Power Rangers or, you know, whatever it is. But humanity, there's something inside of us where we want to, or we want to relate to the hero of the story, despite maybe even the brokenness or the different things that come in the storylines of the superheroes, especially if you watch Marvel, right? There's all such all kinds of drama. But there's something that where we relate, where we want to see or be the ones who rescue the day, to save the world, to give, to restore humanity back to its rightful place, you know, to run into danger and to help the weak, to give hope to the hopeless, to restore what was stolen or broken. And you know, there's something inside of us where when even the worst is happening, right? Buildings are breaking and the evil people are coming out of the sky or whatever's happening and taking place. I'm thinking of Marvel right now. But when all these things are colliding on Earth, there's something inside of us that's like, that's not right. Someone needs to fix it. This needs to stop, right? Like, no one has to tell us that we see something is wrong and something right needs to be done. And why is that? Why, since 2018, has there been over 28 superhero movies made? Why, in 2022, we already have 9 superhero movies that are scheduled to release? Why, in the past about 5 to 6 years, there's been like over 50 movies made of superheroes? Why? Why is all that? Because there is a deep desire in us to see a person, to see a people sacrifice for the sake of others. We relate to it. We may not have never done it, but we relate to it. And we want to see it take place. We long to not just see a savior, but to be a part of saving the world. Why? Why do we want heroism so bad? We dream often of being a superhero. But will we be one today? Will we be one right now? Will we be a hero to a young child who is in need of a meal? Will we be a hero to a young child who does not know how to read, has not learned the vocabulary of their nation, who has watched their mother, father pass away, has watched siblings slip away, or caring for their siblings right now? Will we be a hero to them? Feed One all around the world feeds children every single day through this initiative. And Feed One is by Convoy of Hope, but Feed One is the college students who are answering the call. It is the college students taking hold of the initiative to say, I will feed a child for $10 a month. $10. $10 a month, we feed them food, we give them an education, we give them access to safe and clean water, we provide shelter for them, and we create opportunities for their families. So One, nutritious meals. Feed One feeds and monitors the health and growth of children each day in countries such as El Salvador, Haiti, Honduras, Kenya, Nicaragua, the Philippines, Ethiopia, South Africa, Nepal, tons of other countries. Tanzania is one of them as well. They implement programs that are based on the needs of each country to provide these food and nutritious meals. They also provide for each child that's enrolled in every program, they are given an education. In many instances, these children in these programs are fed through these schools. Parents in these growing countries are placed at a great value to be given education so that they can also be aware of ways to start a business, of ways to begin farming in plots of land that they have so that they could grow crops for their family as well as selling them to create a business. The education is both for the child and the parents. Parents all over have learned different skills that they could use to be able to finally have a job that will be able to bring in a steady income and shelter for their family. Children are provided clean and safe water. Clean and safe water is such a high, high commodity in these countries. Filtration systems are distributed all over these areas, training and equipping local partners to understand where safe water is and how it can be available to them. Healthy living environments. There are so many dangerous structures. Many places where Feed One has gone into, there have been huge natural disasters that have taken place, from earthquakes to hurricanes. And Feed One, through your giving, is able to help these dangerous structures and improper places so that children can have a healthy and full life. They create these places by teaching about appropriate ways for even sanitation practices. So making sure that they know how to sanitize their dishes and their equipment and their things that they have, as well as being able to provide insulation in homes and in areas. So maybe even fixing a door or fixing a window or fixing walls so that, again, children can be in healthy places and grow up with such a bright future. There are over 842 million undernourished people in the world today, which means one in eight people do not get enough food to live a happy and active life. Statistics state that a child dies every 5 seconds around the world. There's one child. Two. We can change that. We can change that and provide meals, education, safe environments, water for these children through Feed One. Hunger and malnutrition are the number one risk to health worldwide, greater than AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, all combined. Hunger and malnutrition are greater risk. Again, Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100, just feed one. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is not about twisting your arm. This is not about guilt tripping you. This is about asking, would you take time to pray? Take time to set aside. Would you sacrifice and would you give cheerfully to the children around the world? For $10 a month, Feed One has made it possible to bring so much to children across the world. People often don't see college students as generous people, but we are. People don't see college students as sacrificial people, but we are. People don't see college students as compassionate people, but we are. Some think we're all about our TikTok dances, Insta Reels. But when I look at college students, when I look at our university campuses, what do I see? I see generous, compassionate, sacrificial generation is in all of you. So I'm calling us out as a movement. Let's together as a family for the month of November be the righteous men and women God has called us to and make a sacrificial pledge to give to these children. What can you do this month to set something aside for these children? I want to ask you, would you give sacrificially this month of your own money? Could you support one child? Maybe you can do more. For $120, you can support a child for an entire year. I'm not asking you guys to go into debt, sell your college books, or do something irrational or irresponsible. But without reservation, I am asking you to be compassionate. Some of us have that addiction to that large brand coffee corporation. Some of us have an addiction to eating out a little too often, a little too much on the DoorDash or Uber Eats. Some of us, you know, we just really like the way we look, gotta look fresh. You're not wrong for these things. Some of these may seem small or little things to you. These things you've worked hard for. But I'm asking, for 1 month, can you sacrifice more than normal this month so that we as a family can give a large gift to Feed One? Maybe you generally are barely making enough to get through your day to day. You're working to pay off the basic things. Maybe your parents are there. Things are tight and they're sacrificing to give you what you have so that you can go to college, so you can better yourself. Well, could you sacrifice and could you fundraise? Could you ask for not your needs, not even the needs of your family, but for the needs of children across the world? Could you sell maybe some old clothes? Could you maybe gather some things around from family members that they don't use anymore that you could sell on Marketplace? Have a virtual yard sale. Could you babysit an extra couple of times on the weekends and use those funds for Feed One? Could you bake, sell some things, do a car wash? Could you find a way to say, I'm going to give towards these children? Again, for every $120, given, we will support one child for a year to get an education and a nutritious meal. So whatever that looks like for you, I'm asking you, take some time and pray. And let's, as a family, as a student faith movement for all nations, give a gift towards Feed One. Again, not because we have tons of money, but because we are a righteous people. We are a compassionate people. We are a sacrificial people. We love hard, so we give big. Ways that you can give towards Feed One are by logging in to our URL, CVXA Feed One. We will put that in the podcast show notes, ways that you can give. We have a URL for Feed One for CVXA. You can follow that link and give your gift there. I want to pray for everybody, and I want to thank you on behalf of all the children across the world that you are feeding. God, thank you so much for calling us to be a generous generation. Thank you for calling us to answer the cries of the brokenhearted, to answer the cries of the needy, to answer the cries of the mothers and fathers who are asking for a way for their children to receive food this month. Lord, we thank you, God, that we will give, that we will sacrifice, that we will find a way, Lord, to pledge the amount that you've called us to give for these children. Thank you for providing a way. Thank you for opening doors of favor for us, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. We enter your throne room, God, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with humility. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Again, follow our URL, feedone.com/CVXA with an additional slash. We'll also put in the podcast for you to give. Love you guys. See you soon.
Thanks for receiving and applying what you learned today. Now go make disciples of all nations. Remember, you were born to reproduce. Go find, feed, and fight for the lost lambs of God on your campus.